Good morning.
Morning.
It's almost Labor Day. You know what that means?
Yep.
All the parents are happy. I used to sing to my kids, it's the most wonderful time of the year. They didn't like that. Anyway, that's okay. Yeah, all back to, they're going back to school. I used to love that Staples commercial, right, where the dad is skipping through the aisles, picking out all the things. That's my kind of commercial. Well, welcome. My name is Ian. It's good to have you. Summer's over. Yeah, I know. Sorry, I'm like the bearer of bad news this morning. Summer's over. We're going back to school. At Christmas time, I'll be Scrooge. We are walking through the book of Psalms. We're selecting different ones that we're going to minister on. But we're encouraging you to be reading a psalm every day. You maybe make that as your daily practice. Today, we are going to be going through the most famous psalm of all. Any ideas? Psalm 23. Very good. Yes.
Right.
We're going through Psalm 23. Most people are very familiar with this. But I would say this before we even start. Most people's understanding of this psalm is a little off. And I don't mean off, wrong, but it's just, it doesn't really help us that much in our daily life. And so I hope this morning we can just get reoriented and centered and focused around what God is really speaking to us through this psalm. So I'm going to invite Jeff to come up. He's going to read the psalm for us. Is that right? Go ahead, Jeff. Did I just mess it up? I think I did. Got it. There we go.
Thanks. Okay. Hi, church. My name is Jeff, if you haven't met me. And that's my wife, Kat. Next week is our one-year anniversary.
Woo!
Thank you. Yeah. Kat is a music therapist, so she helps people, mostly seniors, in her job with just personal issues that they have, and she acts as their therapist through music and song. And I'm a family lawyer, so I help people in a different way. Usually they come to me crying, and usually people leave Kat crying, so in many ways we do similar things. We got married just a little under a year ago, and we decided that it was time to introduce lots of change into our life, so we decided to look for a new church, and this is what we just searched on Google, I think, and we also knew Sylvia, and so it's good that this church has such a Googleable name, and it led us here, and we quickly found like everything to be so wonderful, the people, and so we decided to make this church our home. Yeah. So I'm going to read Psalm 23, which is my favorite psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will return in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Well, the Lord is my shepherd. This morning our title is Care, Crisis, and Confession. And I want to start, let's just start with this thought of confession. You know, people can say a lot of things in their life. You know, we can confess, I love somebody. We can confess all kinds of things. But, you know, there's you can confess it in one way and you confess it in a real way. And usually the real way is with substance and with experience. And so this psalm actually starts this way. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a confession. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know, there for even for Christians, you could say that as a confession. And one way is quite hollow because you've never experienced him really as your shepherd. And another way is quite weighty because you have experienced him and all the different things that you've gone through in life. And you'll find people, I've come across people in my Christian life and as a pastor, you know, you find people and they, you ask them a question and they have the right answer. But you realize there's nothing underneath what they're saying. And it sounds very, very hollow and very, very shallow. And, you know, because I've been in this profession for so long, you see people as they've gone through different experiences. Later on, when they say similar things and you ask them questions, it's like, you've changed. Because your answer has weight to it because you've gone through something. So confessions are wonderful things to make, but there's different ways of making those confessions. And, you know, this psalm is set up as a kind of a confessional and even almost like a creed. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. So I want to just spend a little bit of time on that verse for a second, because, you know, what's interesting about this, many times when we're reading this psalm, we read it from the standpoint of shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what makes this psalm quite unique is it says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is unique, actually, in most of the scriptures, because you just do not find this. You will find times when the Bible is very clear that God is the shepherd of Israel. That's a very corporate thing that God is doing. But in this psalm, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I wonder, can you say that? Can you say that? And I know, you can say it in the way of confessional. The Lord is my shepherd. But have you had so many experiences that when you say the Lord is my shepherd, it's got so much weight because he's really shepherded you through. You've allowed him to shepherd you through so many things. You know, so you could be saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and you're kind of still thinking, I hope he's my shepherd. I think he's my shepherd. But how about saying, the Lord is my shepherd with all kinds of assurance based on your experience? So is your experience of your shepherd very personal? So can you, as a parent, say, the Lord is my shepherd? In my parenting, the Lord is my shepherd. How good is that? Just to recognize, yes, I'm a parent, but I have a shepherd who is shepherding me as I take care of my children. That's how personal God wants to be with you. As a student, many of the students now are knocking their knees and wondering, who will be in my class? Which teacher will I have? Will my friends be in my class? And I know for most of us, we're so far removed from that. It's like, what are they worried about? But it's a very real experience for our students. And I would ask our students, is the Lord my shepherd to you? Can you say, no matter which teacher you get, no matter which friends are or are not in your class, can you still say, the Lord is my shepherd? Because regardless of the teacher, regardless of the students, regardless of the subjects, regardless of the order of the subjects, you can still say, my shepherd is with me. And how about those of us who are single? It can be a hard journey when we're single. And oftentimes we think, where is that other significant person in my life? I see so many other people, they've got their partners and everything. And you as a single person, you're saying, why? can you also say, in my singleness, the Lord is my shepherd? He knows you. He's caring for you. He's got you. He knows the emotional things that you go through. He feels that with you, and he's there with you. And then I would say, do we have any seniors here?
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Nigel. It's good to volunteer, right? Nigel's over 50, so. You know, sometimes we're like, you know, in our early years, we've got so much energy and we've got so much ambition. And then when we get to those older years, those later years in life, maybe we're just thinking, let's just wind this thing down. But this is what I love about the Psalms. The Psalm says, you know, as we're getting older, we should make it our job to make sure the next generation is clear who our God is. Tell the next generation. And you know, sometimes we're like, I'd love to be able to tell, but I'm so tired. I'm aching. I'm having a difficult time. Can you also say, the Lord is my shepherd, even in my senior years, even in my later years? You know, to say the Lord is my shepherd is a really precious thing. But to say the Lord is not my shepherd, which may be the case for some people in this room, I would wonder, who is your shepherd? If it's not the Lord, you got to have some shepherd. You're following somebody. And my question to you would be this: how is that working out for you with that shepherd? And your shepherd might just be you. You know, I'm just so self-reliant. I can do everything myself. I don't need everybody else. I don't need crutches. I don't need help. I'm all right. I can do it by myself. Maybe you're your own shepherd. And I think even this morning, as God has brought you here to this, to hear these words, I wonder, would you reflect and say, how is that going? How is it going with me being my own shepherd? Or how is it me, you know, how is it going for me as I consider that person as my shepherd? Because I'll guarantee you this, if you have somebody other than Jesus as your shepherd, there will be lack. There will be lack at some point in time. This verse says, there is nothing I lack. Nothing materially, nothing emotionally, nothing spiritually. You know, most of you don't have, you know, you haven't been called in the same way that a number of us in this room have been called into ministry. And, you know, being called into ministry is very interesting because, at least in this particular church, there's not that security. You know, it's not like every single month you're going to be guaranteed a paycheck. We live by faith. And I'll tell you, that has been very difficult over the years. Why don't I just give up and just go get a job? Can I provide for my family? Let me just say this. My family has never had lack after all the years of serving. The Lord has been my shepherd all throughout my serving. Did my children get everything they wanted? No. And neither do yours. There's no lack. There's no lack when the Lord is your shepherd. I just think about, you know, the different things that many of us have gone through. And you see why I'm saying this should be our confessional. This should be what we say. The Lord is my shepherd. There is no lack. I experience no lack when my shepherd is really my shepherd. You know, it goes on. The psalm goes on and it says, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. And I just want to take just a couple of minutes on this, because here is where you start to see the care. But I want you to be very clear. The way that this psalm is set up is still in the confessional mode, because it's a declaration telling you what my shepherd has done for me. This is based on experience. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. So let's kind of go through. There was no lack in terms of food. There was no lack in terms of water. There was no lack in terms of rest. There was no lack in terms of restoration. There was no lack in terms of which path I should follow in my life. No lack. Just think about that. He leads me beside the green pastures. Food. Just think about today, how blessed we are. We have Bibles. That's a blessing. To have a Bible, to be able to read it. And if you, you know, and if, even if you don't have that, you can take out your phone. And it's there. And there's all kinds of podcasts. There is ample food for you and I today. And you know, when I think about this idea of rest, I wonder, are you taking the rest? You know, we live in a busy city, right? The pace is fast. You and I need rest. Will we take the rest that our shepherd is giving to us? When I'm weak, is my shepherd there to strengthen me? When I am sorrowful, my shepherd is there to cheer me and to help me through. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. And it's interesting, if you go back to the verse from Nehemiah, it says about right path. Look at this. He leads me along the right path. And, you know, different translations will say different things, but this is correct. This is more accurate according to the Hebrew. You know, it's kind of like some translations will say, he leads me on paths of righteousness, and kind of putting an ethical kind of dimension to it. But that's not what this psalm is saying. This psalm is saying, God knows the path that you need to walk. And God, as your shepherd, is leading you and guiding you to that path. And your path may be different from somebody else's path. And sometimes we wonder, why is it that God is leading so-and-so on that path and I'm on this path? Because when the Lord is my shepherd, he knows the path you need. And he knows the path somebody else needs. The Lord is my shepherd. How many of you think the Christian life is all about happy, joyful, praising all the day long? Good. Nobody. Because I want to draw your attention. You know, this is amazing, right? You see that. You know, you see this kind of confessional, God takes care of us in every single way. Then look at this next part in verse 4 and 5. There's dark valleys. There's enemies. This is a normal part of our Christian life. There are difficult things that you and I go through. And the great thing is that in those times of crisis, my shepherd is there. He didn't take a vacation. He didn't say, don't worry, you can work it out on your own. My shepherd, if he's your shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, he's right there with you. He's going through it with you. So I got a quote for you. Look at this here. It's interesting. It says, this psalm is not concerned with a problem-free or idyllic existence. So if you've got this notion that if I become a Christian, or I am a Christian, and that's the kind of life you expect, you're wrong. Somehow you got the wrong message. This psalm is telling you, yes, your shepherd cares for you, but your shepherd also is not going to stop you from going through dark things. And your shepherd is not going to shield you and protect you, you know, so that no enemies or no trouble comes into your life. That's not this psalm, and that's not the Christian life. This psalm is not concerned with a problem-free or an idyllic existence. It concerns the expression of trust. Is the Lord your shepherd? In the active presence of the Lord, in the midst of life's problems and tensions. Anybody got any problems in here? Come on, this is time to confess. All right. Anybody got any tensions in their life? The left side of her hand should be way out. Like, I'm so scared about going to school tomorrow or on Tuesday. You have a shepherd. Right? You have a shepherd who is with you. To think that this life of faith that we are living is free from danger, free from evil, free from crisis, you're wrong. There are these elements that come along with us on the journey and that we will meet on the journey of faith. I want to point out something to you which is quite striking. If we can go back to verses 2 and 3, Iman, for me for a second. Yeah, that's good. Did you notice this? I've underlined and put in bold the pronouns. He lets me lie down. He leads me. He renews me. He leads me. And it's very interesting because as you look at that, you realize, again, from the confessional standpoint, that's speaking about your shepherd. It's about speaking about the Lord. But I want you to see what happens when we flip over to verses 4 and 5. The pronoun changes. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And isn't it interesting? At the very point where we have darkest valleys and enemies, the pronoun changed from he to you. And I believe that should help us a lot. Because it's one thing to make a declaration of what God is for us. But it's in our very difficult times. We need to have personal conversation, prayer, dialogue with our shepherd. It should no longer just be he. It should be you. It's a conversation that you are having. How many of you know that what helped you the most as you went through your dark... How many of you know this? When I went through my darkest times, my toughest times, that's when I really grew in my Christian faith. Isn't that it? That's what the psalmist is telling us. That's what the psalmist is telling us. When does your Christian life get really established? When you go through the dark valley. When you go through the trouble. When you're crying out like Psalm 13 says, how long, O Lord? Or when you're in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? I guarantee you, if you've gone through those things, the Lord is my shepherd means a whole lot more to you. Because your Christian experience is getting established more and more. And so it says here, even though I go through the darkest valley, and I would point out, this is not referring to death. You know how usually we read this psalm? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and oftentimes this psalm is read at funerals. This psalm has nothing to do with funerals. This psalm has everything to do with our Christian daily life. It's not talking about death. It's talking about deep, dark valleys that God allows us to go through. You know, I think about some of the experiences that my wife and I have gone through. Many of you know my daughter, Olivia, and she almost died at 1 year old from a severe asthma attack. That was a dark, dark valley for us to go through. I know some people in this room are new to this country, immigrants, and you've done your schooling and you're having a very difficult time finding a job. That can be a very long, dark, deep valley. Some of you have lost a loved one, and that was a very difficult time for you. Some of you experience episodes of depression. Those are deep, dark valleys that we go through. But I will tell you this. The same God who led you to the dark valley is the same God who will lead you through the dark valley. Amen? That's our shepherd. Yes, he will lead you into those places, but he never leaves you. Let's just look at this. Go back to the verses for me again, Iman, because look at this. It says, you are with me. And this is a critical point in this psalm. You know, the way that Hebrew poetry is set up is very interesting because what is in the center matters. What is in the center of a poem is extremely important. It's not just important because it's in the center. It's important also theologically. That's the main point. God is allowing us to go through all kinds of difficulties. But I, he says, for you are with me. Yes, you're going to go through some difficult times. Yes, you're going to be surrounded by your enemies. But God is with you. Yes. Is that encouraging?
Yes.
God is with you. And he's comforting you with his rod and his staff. Let me read this quote to you. We're talking about, for you are with me. This poetic line is exactly the center line of the poem. As is often the case in Hebrew poetry, what is central structurally is also central theologically. Pay attention to this as you're reading your Psalms. In this case, the affirmation of the unfailing presence of God and God's protection for life, even in the midst of the most threatening of circumstances. Brothers and sisters, friends, God promises you, if he is your shepherd, he is with you. He never leaves you. We finish off this psalm with two last verses. One is verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And this is another thought about of the protection. Yes, the enemies are there. Yes, you are going to face some tough times. But here's what God would say. Or at least this is what David's experience was. I'm in the presence of my enemies. Yet, God, you help me to feast. And it's very interesting because, you know, it's an interesting image that's being presented here. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like there's a table almost for two. And there's all kinds of food on that table. And the Lord as the shepherd is on one side and you are on the other. And you're surrounded by your enemies. Now, that might not seem good. Just wait. And here's the point of this psalm, this part of the psalm. The point is, when the enemies realize God is with you, what do you think your enemies do? Walk away. God is with you. I remember Nigel's son when he was in grade 9, I think it was. At that time, we had a Bible class or Bible training that was going on here at the church. And there were a whole bunch of big, beefy guys. And Nigel's son was going through a difficult time because there was all kinds of bullying and all kinds of name calling and things like that going on. And so I don't know what all of a sudden caused these big, beefy guys to get it in their mind, hey, let's go visit him for lunch at school one day. And so they did that. And they, of course, interestingly, they're not just big guys. They all wore leather jackets. So here was Nigel's son, being confronted by these people who, you know, wanted to take him on kind of thing. And all of a sudden, four big beefy guys in leather jackets show up. What do you think the bullies did? Right? It's like, whoa. That's the same thing that God is saying for you. I know you face enemies, but come and sit at the table with me. I'm preparing this wonderful banquet for you right here. Would you come? Would you eat? Would you come and join me? And then interesting, look at this. This psalm ends with another confessional. We've gone from confessional to experience, back to confessional. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will return to the house of the Lord as long as I live. Only goodness. That is only some, that statement, that confessional, that can only be said by someone who says, the Lord is my shepherd. Because when you look back over your life, you can say, wow, there's been goodness. And there's been faithful love. And some other translations say mercy. There has been all these things. And what's interesting here is it, you know, usually we read this and it says, will follow me all the days of my life. It doesn't say that. The original says pursue. And is there a difference between follow and pursue? Big difference, right? Big difference. So here's why we sang the song Relentless this morning. Because God's love, God's faithful love, God's goodness is chasing you. It's pursuing you. It's tracking you down. And if you look back on all the years you've been following God and he's been your shepherd, you can raise your hand and you say, only goodness. Only mercy. Only faithful love has found me. And then finally he says, and I will return to the house of the Lord. A lot of people talk about this as heaven. That's why they use it as funerals. Like it's kind of got one of those, you know, and everything, and everyone lived happily ever after kind of thoughts to it. That's not the thought here. The thought is, if the Lord is your shepherd, you've gone through all of these amazing experiences with him, why would you not return in worship to him? Amen. I hope you can start to see, and I hope as you're in your home group, you can dig in a little bit more to realize, wow, this is really who my shepherd is. And not only that, but this is my experience. As you allow him to be your shepherd, would you just keep coming to him, returning to him, returning to him? Just return to worship your shepherd. Amen? We're going to have the Lord's table. And I don't think there's a more fitting way to begin the Lord's table than, actually, if the musicians can come up, that'd be great. This table, this table is a testimony of what God has done for us and who he is. And so we invite, I mean, of course, it centers in on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that is him being my shepherd.